On this episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, recorded during the New Jersey Association of ASC's annual conference in East Brunswick, New Jersey, we discuss recent activities, interview Nina Dietrich about handling press inquiries, and review the responsibilities of the governing body.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a bi-weekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource the regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality improvement, risk management, emergency and infection control programs, run their meetings, develop education programs, and always be prepared for surveys. Welcome to episode 55 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey for June 2nd, 2019, recording from our studio in Rochester, New York, with portions recorded live from the New Jersey Ambulatory Surgery's annual conference in East Brunswick, New Jersey on May 29th. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS, and I'm here with John Gailey, the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies and one of the leading experts in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry, and the author and co-author of over 10 books about the ASC industry, including the Survey Guide for ASCs. John speaks frequently at both national and state ASC meetings on a wide variety of topics. We're back home after attending two conferences. It's been a great couple of weeks. We went to the ASCA conference and then the New Jersey conference.
That's right. ASCA was in Nashville this year. We had all of our employees there. Mm-hmm. We did two special episodes, which hopefully everybody's listened to already.
Yep.
And then we went from there to the New Jersey Association conference in East Brunswick. So we're going to talk a little bit about the New Jersey Association conference today and one of the interviews that we had there. And we have an exciting week ahead of us. The New York Association meeting is going to be up in Saratoga. Almost all of our employees will be there also. Mm-hmm. And then after the conference, this is very exciting, we are going on our annual retreat in Loon Lake with, again, virtually all of our employees. So very, very busy couple weeks ahead of us here.
Yeah, and we really do enjoy that too, because we see, it's not as though we're all in the office together or anything. So it gives us some time to talk.
Right.
And then to see what we're all working on. And
spouses and girlfriends will be there at the beginning of the...
For the weekend.
Right.
And then we'll go into the kind of work portion of it, but that's still is a lot of bonding time and a lot of fun.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Can't wait. I should talk a little bit about the episodes that we've had. We had two special episodes available during the ASCA Association meeting. What happened, though, is we ran out of time to bring all of our staff together to do a last episode on the conference. But as we said, our AHS annual retreat is coming up, and we're going to record at least one episode with some final observations from the conference, since most of our employees will be there also. I also did want to apologize for episode 53, which was recorded live during the conference. We recorded it with one of our, shall we say, less expensive microphones on an iPhone, and it was relatively low quality. So, Sue, I did some research, as you know, over the weekend, and I purchased some new portable recording equipment using our using Shure microphones. We just, so everybody knows, or if they care, we use Shure microphones in our studio here, and when we're on the road. So this is for our portable solution. In other words, when we're actually doing like an interview with using either the iPhone or an iPad, now we're going to have this nice new microphone that will really sound much better.
Yep. I mean, we often get like in the New Jersey association, we had a little room with a table and we were able to set up. But then sometimes
we're
not able
out.
To get that. Yes.
they actually had a session, so we had to leave.
You know, there's still people we wanted to talk to.
So that'll
work out great.
Well, and also make it easier for us to record if we wanted to talk to one of our, you know, like a vendor at a conference too. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about having that new equipment. It will arrive on Monday, so you can bring it with us for the, I'm leaving before you do, for the New York State Association meeting. So if you wouldn't mind picking it up and bringing it with you. Last week, we were, as we mentioned, honored to be at the New Jersey Association meeting at the Hilton in East Brunswick, New Jersey. It's a wonderful venue for the conference. I guess they had to move there because the association is getting bigger, which is great, largely because, as you'll hear about during the special episode that we're going to record, episode 56 will be a special episode about the New Jersey Association meeting. But the association has gotten quite a bit bigger as a result of changes in the regulations in the state that required single-room surgery centers that had not previously been required to be licensed to be licensed. Also, they needed more space for the exhibitors, and it was. And I'll tell you, this conference was great. It was a great opportunity to spend more time with exhibitors. So, you know, I was so busy during the ASCA conference. Mm-hmm. I literally didn't get an opportunity to see many of the vendors there, and certainly didn't have enough time to talk to them in any depth. I did have to man the CASC and the CAPE booth there for the Board of Ambulatory Surgery Center accreditation.
And in the New York State Association meeting, I know we're going to be helping out a lot, so it'll probably be the same kind of situation. But in New Jersey, we got to walk around, and we met some interesting people.
We did. We very much so. I was, first of all, on the Tuesday night, they had a casino night. Now, neither you or I are gamblers, so we didn't participate in that. But while everybody else was gambling, we walked around and talked to the vendors.
Yeah, and it was actually a great idea because it wasn't as though we were using money. They gave you tickets, and then you'd win them, and then at the end you could pick out a prize. And you know, it was just a fun idea.
It looked like they were having a lot of fun, but we were busy working, and we talked to a couple of vendors. We made some new friends. For example, we met Jenny Stemhagen and her daughter Amy Stemhagen, who own a company called Learning Harbor. First of all, I'm always attracted to companies that are family businesses, since ours is too. Yep. And the two of them work together with Learning Harbor, which is an online platform for orientation and mandatory education. And anybody that listens to this podcast knows I'm actually pretty critical about online platforms for this type of education. And
you put her on the spot, she passed with flying colors.
Jenny just did a fantastic job. She was incredible. She told me about how their platform is really designed around, you know, making sure that it's easily adaptable to include information. I mean, one of the problems with many of the online platforms is that people assume that you just sign up and do it, and all of your orientation is done. But of course, the biggest problem is, you know, that's only about a third of it. The rest of it is going to have to be things that are very specifically tailored to your organization. And Learning Harbor apparently has that capability. I think most of the organizations that have these types of services do have the ability to do it, but very few people use it. And sometimes the software itself doesn't make it easy to upload that information. But it sounds like Learning Harbor does have that capability. And we are very impressed with Jenny and her daughter, Amy. And
I don't see how you can go wrong. If I have this right, I believe she is a nurse.
Right.
And her daughter's a teacher.
That's
so
it's a perfect combination for that. So, and then we also met Claire Cerami. I think that's how you pronounce her name. She's also a nurse, and she created a company called Positive Outcomes, which is an organization that works with ambulatory surgery centers to develop QI studies. And as you know, so I was so curious about this because, you know, we work with quality improvement programs like at the Big Picture. But, you know, she works with organizations that are just trying to pull together a QI study and study things. So basically, there's a lot of statistics involved. She helps them design the study, puts it all together. And it just seems like a really nice product. So we'll hopefully get both Learning Harbor and Positive Outcomes, the name of her company, on a future podcast here. So
yeah, and she reminded me a lot of your journey because she found herself in her job spending a lot of time with the QI studies, the QI gathering information, and it just started to be something that people asked of her, and she thought, well, you know, maybe I can just make a business out of this, and it seems like it just worked out that way, and she found that niche that she...
Is it niche or niche?
I don't know.
I knew you were going to do that.
I didn't want to even say it.
So we have an ongoing argument between the two of us as to whether it's niche or niche.
But, well, it's because I had said niche a while ago when we were talking to somebody, and literally 2 days later I woke up and I thought, oh, I said that wrong. And so now I feel silly even saying it.
Oh,
but
wow.
You know, sometimes I think you just find your spot, and yeah, I'll just say that.
It's very exciting. I was great. It was great to meet these people. We did also, I don't want to minimize the other people we met at the conference, all of our friends over at SIS, you know, the computer company, and as well as a Priority One, who had a nice booth there about their issues. We interviewed Nelson Gomes for a future episode. We couldn't fit it into this one, or actually for the next two or three episodes. So we'll have a special episode with him coming up. So again, thank you to everybody at the New Jersey Association for inviting us and for the opportunity to see so many vendors.
And you were the keynote for this conference. Do you want to talk a little bit about your speech?
Sure. It was one of my passionate speeches. We've talked about it quite a bit, actually, on the podcast. I just want to do an overview of what I talked about, which was basically helping administrators to understand the importance of recognizing responsibility of the governing body, you know, to work with the governing body to help them to make sure that they understand what they have to do under the conditions for coverage and the state regulations that apply to surgery centers. And, you know, the importance of developing comprehensive minutes that reflect all the activities of the governing body and shows that the governing body is actively involved in the issues, the pertinent issues of the ASC. And one of the things we talked about extensively, and I did ask a question, I kind of set somebody up in the audience, that poor woman. You know, I asked the question, which I always do, is it appropriate just to write in your minutes the phrase reviewed and approved the minutes of the Quality Improvement Committee? And one poor woman said, yes. And I, of course, pointed out that, no, that's not enough information. You need to, you know, have a little bit more discussion about what happened with quality improvement and make sure you approve specifically those activities that came out of quality improvement that are responsibility of the governing body, such as, you know, changes in policies and procedures or a change in the educational program or anything that was more comprehensive there. So all the QI decisions must be outlined in the minutes. Also, the importance is, you know, Sue, regular meetings of the governing body, making sure that those are reflected. There really is, even though the CMS regulations require only an annual meeting, if you're doing less than quarterly meetings, you're probably going to get into trouble as part of your accreditation or your CMS.
You're going to miss something. You're just not going to be able to cover it all.
That's right. And one recommendation I made to the listeners was that they really should consider annually having a board discussion about their responsibilities. Every year, remind, you know, the governing body members of what they need to do. You know, just spend 15 minutes and then talk a little bit about the changes in the regulations over the past year. And especially when a new governing body member comes on board, making sure that they, you know, before their first meeting, really have a good hour conversation about all the things that they're going to be, that's going to be expected of them when they're on the board. So ASCA 2019 is in the history books, and now it's time to plan for ASCA 2020. So as a member of the Education Committee, we really want to have your input about topics for next year's conference. So please, please go to the ASC Association website and fill out the form there to give us some feedback. Every single suggestion is read by the committee. Trust me, we do read every single one. And it's evaluated for its applicability to the general audience and how it would be addressed at the meeting and whether it's been addressed recently and if it's something that's extremely important that needs to be addressed again. And please get in as soon as possible. Actually, our first meeting is tomorrow night, which would be June 3rd. So we have a conference call every Monday until the agenda is all set. That's all part of the Education Committee responsibility. So please get that information in. So let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about the New Jersey Association meeting and some of the things that we learned from there and our interview with Nina Dietrich.
During the New Jersey Association meeting, Nina Dietrich with Nina Dietrich LLC, a public relations and marketing communications company, talked about preparing for unfavorable press coverage. Nina works with the New Jersey Association to advise the organization and its members about how to respond to negative news coverage, and she has been instrumental in helping them through some recent coverage issues, including the USA Today article in early 2018 that we had talked about some. As a matter of fact, we spoke to her once before
last year.
That article that had made news for about 24 hours, then it just disappeared when it didn't get any traction because it was so poorly researched. And the 2018 incident where an ASC had to notify over 3,000 patients when the New Jersey Department of Health identified significant issues in their sterile processing department practices. So Nina spoke to us about how centers should be and can be prepared to respond quickly when the media calls your center. So let's listen to that interview. John and I are here with Nina Dietrich, LLC. She's a public relations consultant with the New Jersey Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers. Hi,
Good
Nina.
Morning.
Good morning.
So, Nina, tell us a little bit about what you do with the New Jersey Association.
My role is really to raise visibility for the association among both the general public as well as potential members, to share what the purpose, the mission is of the association, and to serve as a voice for the industry when, you know, media call on us for stories that they're working on.
So New Jersey is an exciting state. Obviously, a lot of things have been going on. So what have been some of the things that you've had to deal with over the last couple years?
Certainly. You know, New Jersey is really sort of a bellwether, I think, for the industry in many ways because we're so highly regulated here. And so, you know, we're always sort of navigating that conversation. And even though, you know, the sphere of media is getting smaller and smaller every day, it seems, they are, you know, much more intent on reporting sometimes the challenging news to the industry. That seems to be a greater focus of the press these days. And so, you know, that makes my job a little bit more focused in terms of managing crisis communications for the association and making sure we're getting out as much positive information and true information as possible.
So probably one of the bigger challenges you had this year was with regard to the infection issue in New Jersey. So how did the association step up? I know there was a lot of press coverage.
Certainly. Yes, there has been. I think the most important thing is to be transparent and accessible. I think the media really value that kind of relationship, and that can make a whole lot of difference in the kind of coverage that results. In terms of, you know, how we've handled some of these bumps in the last year or two, again, it was just making our experts available and providing as much data as we could. You know, I think you may have actually heard me say this in the past that, you know, if you don't tell your story first, somebody else is going to, and they're going to get it wrong. Yeah. So it is very important to be accessible. Otherwise, you know, then it leaves room for a lot of misinformation to be circulated, and given social media, that information can be recirculated for a really long period of time. So we did spend a fair amount of time in the last 24 months getting those messages out.
So, of course, a problem could occur at any time, and the members will be able to call upon services such as yours if something were to happen. So kind of run through what a member would do if a problem occurs and they're called upon by the press.
Certainly. We do take those kinds of calls fairly often. You know, I think the first thing you have to do is think about constituencies that you have to communicate to when a problem arises. It's not just the press. It's your patients. It's your referring physicians. It's, you know, people sitting in the waiting room with those patients. You have to really take a 360-degree look at all of the people that you need to be communicating to, including your staff, because they're also speaking for you, or should not be speaking for you, depending on the nature of the matter. And so, you know, the first step is to sit down and list out who are all the audiences we need to talk to. Let's get all the facts about what happened. What don't we know as well? That's as important as what we do know. And then we start to craft those messages. The messages have to be consistent among all of the audiences. There really shouldn't be any difference. There's some nuances, of course, but otherwise the message has to be consistent across all of that. And then we have to assign a spokesperson. And whether that communication is going to come in the form of a patient letter or an email blast or picking up the phone and calling, you know, your top 10 most important referring physicians to your center, that may be a move. It's not just communicating to the media. So we have to sort of think about all of that and the timing of that. And given the nature of the internet, certainly, and, you know, social media, responding quickly is really important. We don't have a day to respond anymore. We used to, you know, now it's just hours, if it's that. And so the communication may come in phases.
So that brings up an actually interesting topic. This morning I was, during my speech, I was talking about the importance of being prepared, you know, for issues. We're talking about drills, in fact, and talking about the importance of making sure that people are prepared for any type of thing by drilling constantly. And it just, it strikes me that I don't think we've ever done a drill.
Yeah, it's a great
where, you know, you're a drill with regard to a media response, mm-hmm. which would be more of a tabletop type drill. So just running that scenario, what would you suggest? Because as you said, it's too late to be thinking about this when the issue occurs. What types of steps do you think an organization should go through to develop policies and procedures and perhaps to drill, to practice what they would do if a media occurrence?
I'm so glad you asked that question. Yeah. It really doesn't get as much consideration as it should. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always called in at the 11th hour, but ideally, you want to know who your spokesperson is. You're going to want to have everybody's emergency contact information first and foremost. You're going to want to have a policy in place about what staff, administration, and the physicians alike need to do should there be a problem. You know, ideally, nobody should be talking to the press except the one designated spokesperson. You want to have your contact information for your attorneys, your insurance companies, your PR or marketing people, all handy, sort of an emergency list. You want to have basic information about your center already written up so that can just be plugged in as needed. It's amazing how much time it takes to put something like that together when everybody's really busy and focused on other things.
And you need to keep that up to date because things change.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so just having some of those basic policies in place, what are you going to do if a camera shows up? Well, you can't disseminate that policy after the crisis hits. You should be talking about what to do if you have a television crew show up at your door and it happens far more than you'd like to think about it.
Right. This has been great. I appreciate your time.
No,
thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. So the takeaways that we got from that, always be prepared by creating policies about who should respond when the call comes in. And consider using it as a drill for your staff and acting out how you would respond. I think that really, it was kind of something that dawned on us.
Yeah.
And she was saying it too. But really, that's the kind of thing she said, especially as you heard with social media. This isn't something you can jump on when it happens. You have to really at least have people informed about some of the basics.
Yeah, we should probably point out that that was a totally unscripted, though most of our stuff is relatively unscripted when it comes to these interviews, but it was totally unscripted. And during that, as I'm listening to her talk, I thought, oh my goodness, this is really a great idea.
You can see the light bulb go off.
Yeah.
Because we're talking a lot about drills lately, and that's a great one that we never would have thought of.
Right. So we actually talked to our staff already about it, and we're going to start implementing it within our organization. We hope we never have to use it, but you know, the press sometimes calls even for positive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, you know, you should be ready to respond to it. And I think an important thing to do is just, you know, when the call comes in, you say, I'm sorry, I have to get back to you. I'm too busy right now. And then make a call to your state association or the ASC association and, you know, do your research so that when you do have an opportunity to return the call to the press, you can answer the questions with a lot of facts to, you know, either supplement their story or to debunk whatever they have negatively tried to pin on the industry.
Yeah. And also keeping in mind, though, you are on a pretty limited time because, as she says, every time we talk to her, you know, if you don't get that story out there, then somebody else might, and then they won't maybe get the facts straight.
Yeah. So let's take a short break and then we'll come back and discuss upcoming events in the ASC industry.
John, ambulatory healthcare strategies is really growing fast. We've been adding employees steadily over the past 12 months. Can you tell the listeners what's been happening?
So clearly, this podcast has been very popular, thanks, of course, to you and me, because of our wonderful work here and our infectious, I don't know if I should be using infectious personalities in a podcast here about infection control and various items, but definitely we're enjoying doing this, and certainly the word is getting out about the great things that we're doing at AHS. So recently, we added infection prevention consulting to our services and mentoring of infection control preventionists in your organizations, and that's being headed up by Lori Rodericks, who is our newly certified CAIP individual. So she has the Certified Ambulatory Infection Preventionist certification now, and she's always been doing infection control for us, but now she's got this new title. So she can do ongoing infection control consulting, particularly if you don't have a qualified IC person on staff. She can help you in following up on infection control issues. She can do mentoring of infection control staff. And she can do infection control and sterile processing competencies. And we've also enhanced our life safety services by adding Jim Masters to our staff. He is a life safety surveyor, and so he joins Alex Porneman, who is our director of operations, to be able to do various life safety surveys and consulting on life safety issues, as well as probably the most important thing is follow up on life safety citations. That's a very difficult area for many organizations to be able to deal with. You know, what happens when you get a life safety citation? How do you deal with that? So we now have that ability. And of course, our unique retainer-based regulatory services, where we help keep you on top of all the ASC regulatory requirements and always make sure that you are survey ready.
So let's talk about some upcoming events in the ASC industry.
Every episode will inform you of upcoming events, and if you would like your event to be included in the podcast, please send the event information to info@ascpodcast.com.
I also want to remind you that the ASC Podcast with John Gailey is available to support your ASC association. John is available to speak, and the podcast can record a podcast from your meeting.
So this coming week, we're heading to Saratoga Springs, beautiful part of New York State, for the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers. Its spring conference is June 5th to 6th in Saratoga Springs, as I said. We're going to have a lot of fun there. It's a great conference, 2 days long. We do two conferences a year with the New York Association. All of our employees will be there. Half of them will be manning the booth, since we're a little short on people for registration there. And then the other half will be manning the Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies booth. So make sure you stop by and say hi and tell us what you think of our podcast.
And the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology, Incorporated, or APIX, 46th Annual Conference is June 12th through 14th, 2019, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The Tennessee ASC Association Membership Meeting is June 19th, 2019, at the AmSurg headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee.
The Gulf States ASC Conference is June 19th through June 21st at the Ritz-Carlton, New Orleans.
The Arizona Ambulatory Surgery Center Association Annual Conference is June 27th through the 28th, 2019, at the Camelback Inn and Spa in Scottsdale, Arizona.
And the 2019 Rocky Mountain ASC Conference and Trade Show is June 27th through June 28th at the Embassy Suites Hotel in downtown Denver, Colorado. Can we go?
I know. We do want to go back to Denver, don't we?
I love Denver.
The Florida State Association ASC Annual Conference and Trade Show is July 17th to July 19th. At the Lowe's Sapphire Falls Resort at Universal Orlando in Orlando, Florida.
The Georgia State ASCs Association and the South Carolina State Association joint semi-annual meeting is August 15th and 16th in the DeSoto in Savannah, Georgia.
I actually don't know anybody at either the Georgia State Association or South Carolina State Association, but I would love to visit Savannah in August, too, one of our favorite cities. So
we're putting just, in a couple plugs here.
That's right, just putting it out there. Our friends over the California Ambulatory Surgery Association, their annual conference is September 4th through the 6th, 2019, in Monterey Bay, California. For more information, please visit casurgery.org. And we're going to be there with a podcast, and I think I might be moderating a session there also.
Tennessee ASC Association's Fall Conference and Trade Show is September 26th and 27th at the Hilton Memphis in Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm just saying, I'd kind of like to be in Memphis, Tennessee also.
Any of these.
The New York Metro ASC and Healthcare Management Symposium is November 1st, 2019 at the Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square. And then 6 days later, the following week, the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers Fall Conference will be somewhere near New York City on November 7th, 2019. We'll have more details to follow, but I just got the date last week. So that's it for this episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. Join us again and spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues, and do us the honor of hitting the subscribe button.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including The Survey Guide for ASCs, A Guide to the CMS Conditions for Coverage and Interpretive Guidelines for Ambulatory Surgery Centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, A Guide for Ambulatory Surgery Center Owners and Governing Body Members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.